It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and appreciate each one coming this way and thankful for that we've been made to feel already this morning. Thankful for the Sunday school hour, thankful for the singing, and appreciate you for being here and looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. And you pray for us for just a little while. We'll try to give you what we feel like the Lord's laid on our heart. And I hope that it'll be a help to you and a strength to you as you go about the journey of life. Sometimes we come up against things, face things that we never thought we would face, and you go against things that you never thought you'd go against. But the Lord's always with us, and that's the wonderful thing. I thought about this morning as we got here and we began to get into the service. I began to think about what all my hope is in. My hope is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. My help is in the Lord. And I thought, boy, if I was to wait on, and I appreciate good help from friends and neighbors and loved ones. I appreciate that. But if I was to wait on that, sometimes I'd probably wait a long time. But I'm thankful I don't have to wait for the Lord to show up. He's ever evident in my life. And I'm thankful that He's always there. When I don't even acknowledge Him, He's there. And that's what's wonderful about Him. And I appreciate the Lord this morning. You pray for us. Going to read out of 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. And I hope this will be a help to you and a strength to you today. And sometimes when scriptures come, I question the Lord, but I've learned just to obey Him, that He knows best, and so I just try to trust Him and hope that this will be a help to you this morning. First King, if you'll let me say this, when I say I hope that it'll be a help to you, I know that it won't be a help to everybody because everybody ain't gonna receive it. I've been in church my whole life, and sometimes people just won't take what God has for them. I know that to be a fact. There's things that my mama would put on the table that I wouldn't eat because I didn't like it. There were certain things. And if you put something with coconut on it, y'all know I've been here long enough. If you bring a coconut cake, you ain't got to worry about me eating any of it because I'm not going to touch it. I don't like coconut. But now if you put some barbecue ribs or some pinto beans or some collard greens, some cornbread, you put any of that, now I'll tear that up. And so I know from experience just from natural life that everybody ain't gonna eat when you come to the table, everything that's on the table. And I know from church life and being in church, whenever the gospel goes out and the word goes out, not everybody's gonna receive it. Because a lot of times we don't care for it, or we don't think it's right, or whatever. But if you'll take what God gives you today, it'll be a help to you. It'll be a help to you. 1 Kings chapter number 22, and I'd like to read there, beginning in that first verse. The Bible said, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said Let not the king say so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day and thank you for all the blessings of life that you've given unto us. We thank you, Lord, for this time, this opportunity to be here in the house of God. We thank you for these that have gathered with us, Lord, these that are visiting with us. We pray, God, your blessings upon them. God, we ask you to bless our church and, Lord, help us to continue to fight for that that's right. God, continue to follow in the ways of the Word of God, Lord, and be found right in the center of your will for our lives. God, I pray, Lord, for each one that's come this way this morning, each request that's upon the hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them, Lord, this morning, whatever's going on in their lives. And God, this morning, I pray, Father, for strength and help now in this time. God, I pray you'd deliver me from myself and let me preach the Word of God and that is needful in our lives today. Lord, this gospel, this Word of God that you centered our hearts upon this morning, I pray, God, that you'd bring forth that you'd have us to say. And Lord, that we might be a help and a strength to those, and God, that are here this morning, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to bless our sick and our shut in, God, where they're at, and that you might help them this morning and strengthen them. And if it be your will, let them come back to the house of God. And Father, but most of all, above everything else, I pray for them that are lost, Lord, that they would be saved. And before it's everlasting too late to accept you as their Savior and Father this morning and to live a life that's pleasing unto you. Lord, we ask you to grant all this now this morning and we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus and for Christ's sake we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now you pray for us for just a few minutes and I want to give you what we feel like the Lord has laid on our heart, but let me maybe go down through this for just a minute. The king of Israel at this time was a man by the name of Ahab, and he was a wicked king. He wasn't a good king. He was an evil man, and we see that in the prior chapters before we get to this, but Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was a good king. He was a good man, but here he made an allegiance with Ahab that he would go to war with him, and sometimes that happens. We get on the wrong side. We get with the wrong people. And here Jehoshaphat has made this commitment, I guess. And so what I see here and what I want to bring out, God being my helper, is here in these last few verses that I read unto you. The Bible said that the king of Israel, which was Ahab, had gathered his prophets, or the prophets, together about 400 men. And you know, these prophets that Ahab had, these were prophets that prophesied good unto Ahab. They told him what he wanted to hear, and they never told him anything that he didn't want to hear. They were, listen, if you'll have it, they were bought and paid for, these prophets that Ahab had, and the Bible said that as Jehoshaphat began to think upon the things, he said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we might inquire of him? And verse number 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man. Listen, he knew there was somebody that had the Word of God, but he said, I don't like him. I hate him. It's what he said. Why? He said, because he don't prophesy anything good concerning me. Amen. He's never got anything, brother, that seems to make me feel better. He don't ever bring anything, Brother Bruce, that seems to, brother, make me seem like I'm doing anything right. All he wants to do is prophesy evil unto me. Brother, listen, so I've got these 400 prophets. I'll go to them. They'll tell me exactly what I want to hear. Amen. I want to say unto you this morning, it ain't always what you want to hear. Brother, it ain't always what'll tickle your fancy. Amen. It ain't always that'll make you feel better. It ain't
ain't always that tastes good. That's the right medicine for you. But know ye and rest assured that if God sends it, amen, it'll work. Amen and amen. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter what place you got yourself in. Brother, if God sends the word, brother, you may not like it. You may despise it. You may even hate it. But the word of God will always do you good this morning. Amen, it will. Yes, sir. It ain't always that people like the message of God. Amen. Brother, I'm going to say this. Brother, you know what some people have got to today in our churches? If the man don't get up, listen and run around and do some great big twirly-whirly, they don't think he's done any preaching, Brother Tony. But the Bible said that Paul commanded Timothy to preach the word. Hey man, it ain't got nothing to do with the excitement the preacher brings. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If you ain't brought excitement yourself, don't think that the man of God's going to excite you in himself. And if that's what you're looking for, brother, I got news for you. You won't find it here. Because I'm not a kind of preacher that's going to try to excite you. I'm going to preach the word of God to you. And if you'll have it, it'll help you this morning. Amen. And if you won't, then you're going to have to look somewhere else or get you somebody else. I'll just put it that way. Amen. I'm not here to tickle ears. I'm not here to bring a message that'll say, boy, you're good, but when you're doing wrong. Amen. God said, brother, warn them. Brother, preach to them what thus saith God, and it'll help them in this day and time. Hey man, you can gather to yourself 400 prophets that'll make you feel better. But brother, that ain't going to do you a bit of good. 400 prophets, here they were. And brother, if you'll read back just a few chapters in the book of 1 Kings. And let me just go ahead and say this. And brother, Paul wasn't wanted by anybody either. And brother, there's a lot of times that Paul would preach the word. And brother, he is trying to help folks. And you know what they want to do to him, Herman? Pull him out from outside the gates and stone him and kill him and beat him. And all he was doing the whole time was loving them and preaching unto them the word of God. Hey man, we live in a day and time where folks don't want the word, they want a circus. Hey man, that's right. They'd rather have somebody get up, brother, run around, do twirly whirls, jump benches. Well, our preacher jumped this high. Well, what he preached, I don't know, but he sure did get jumping high. Amen, that's right. Brother, people are searching for things that God ain't got nothing in. He wants to give you the word of God. He wants you to hear the word of God. He wants you to live the word of God. I know it's not popular, but it's the same thing that's been preached down through the ages. I'm running the word of God. David said, I hid that word in my heart that I might not sin against God. More people worried about how I can sin and get away with it than how I can put the word of God in my heart that I might not sin today. Hey man, we don't want to live a life of godliness. We don't want to live a life of holiness. We don't want to live a life of commitment or devotion. Hey man, we want to live a life that is pleasing to us instead of pleasing to God today. Hey man, that's right. Hey man, that's what Ahab wanted. Brother, in a few chapters prior to this, we see where that Elijah was the prophet. And oh, Elijah was praying that there wouldn't be no rain. And the Bible said that he prayed that it would not rain. And the Bible said it rained not for a space of 3.5 years. Amen. And so what did Ahab do? The Bible said in chapter 18, verse number 5, and Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and all the brooks of water, peradventure that we might find a little grass, amen, that our horses and our mules might eat. Amen. You know what Ahab was doing? He was doing what a lot of Baptist folk are doing today, looking for green pastures, but not praying for what's necessary today. Amen. Amen. Not praying for what's necessary today. Hey, yes, sir, that's right. I'm trying to look for greener pastures. I'm trying to look for something. Listen, I'm going to tell you where you'll get green pastures is where the water of the Word of God is. Amen. He leadeth me beside still waters. Amen. He put me in green pastures. I'm glad that where the Word of God is, there is greenery today. Amen. There he is. Well, preacher, that means I'm going to have to do something. Amen. We live in the time where that we've got so brother used to pushing the button and getting what we want. Amen. Brother, that a little effort, a little struggle sometimes. I told him Wednesday night, brother, sometime you're going to have to go through some struggles to see the help come, but granted assured, thank God, help is on the way because God has promised us that help today. Sure he has. Thank God. Don't you think old Paul began to think sometime when they took that 40th stripe? Amen. And they took him and they was about to beat him with that 40th stripe. They'd already laid 39 stripes on him. And they found out he was a Jew also. And they said they couldn't beat him with 40 stripes. But they went ahead and give him 39. And brother, let him rest a little while. And then give him 39 more. Hey, yeah. And never 40 in one city. And brother, do you think that at one time that old Paul didn't think in himself, and brother, these are the men I used to strive with, these are the men I used to eat with, and now I'm bringing them the truth and they hate me today. Hey man, he told one of the churches over there, he said, when I first come unto you, you was ready to pluck your eyeballs out for me. Amen. He said, now you have turned on me. Amen. Why did they turn on Paul? Because he preached the Word of God, Brother Leroy. Amen. He preached what they needed. But what you need today is the Word of God in your lives. The Word of God is always needful. There's never a time, Tony, that it's not needful in our lives. We all get slack. The Bible said, though counting slackness, it said a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands. It said, so shall thy poverty come. Hey man, what does that mean, preacher? You get lazy enough, you get slothful enough, you'll find yourself in a poverty way. And I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about down in a hog pen. Amen. That young boy was, brother, he was heir of a family that had some money about him. How do you know that, preacher? Because when he got home, there was a ring, there was a robe, there were shoes, and there was a fatted calf. That was a symbol of a family with money. Amen. But this young man, you know where he found himself? He found himself in poverty. Hey man, you'll find yourself in poverty. You won't be able to pray. You'll have to call somebody to pray for you. You ever been in that shape? Well, I have. I've been away from the Lord and I couldn't even pray. Didn't even feel like I could get down and offer up a prayer unto God because he's so holy. And I felt so low and dirty because of my sin. And I thought I couldn't even pray. And I'd call somebody and say, would you pray for me? I can't even pray for myself. Boy, that's a bad shape to get in. But I like what that little prodigal son did. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back home. Woo! Listen today, if you've ever come to a place where you feel alone and empty and dirty, I've got a God that loves you and will take you just the way you are today. Amen. Yes, sir. He loves you. He loves you with your faults and failures and everything. And he'll take you just the way you are. Aren't you glad of that? I'm thankful that the Lord didn't throw me out when I didn't do just right, Brother Dan. Amen. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't just get rid of me. But Tony, he still worked with me and molded me and made me. And he's still working on me today. I'm not a finished product, so if you don't like what you see, keep on praying for me. One day I'll reach to the finish line and I'll get the finished product.
Amen. Amen. Thank God, aren't you glad? Ahab said, I don't like Micaiah. I hate him. That's what he said, wasn't it? You know why he hated him? Sister Betty, it wasn't because brother, maybe Micaiah didn't dress right, or he didn't like the words that he brought to him. Amen. Brother, listen, a lot of people, I've been in church a long time, Brother Bruce, and a lot of people, if the preacher don't do just right, don't shake their hand just right, make him feel at home, I got news for you, I can't do that, but the Spirit of God can, and that's what we need to be yearning for, is the Word and the Spirit today. Well, Leroy prayed a while ago, I'll apologize if this is wrong. I quit praying and listened to him. I said, all right. And he said something about, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Amen. Where'd he get that? From the Word of God. Brother, he told that little woman there at the well. And he said, God is a spirit. Amen. He ain't man. He ain't flesh. But he is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. There's coming a day, Leroy told that girl, where you'll neither worship in this mountain or Jerusalem, but you'll worship him in spirit and in truth today. You know what some people want? They want a whole lot of spirituality, but they don't want no truth. Sometimes I don't tell you everything God tells me, because sometimes it's for me. And sometimes I don't tell you things that I know that you need to hear, because it ain't coming from God, but it's from studying the Word, and I know that it's in the Word, and I know that you need it, but there's times where God says it's not necessary. But listen to me. But if you ask me, you better be ready to receive the truth. Not Josh's truth. Not Josh's truth. But if you ask me a question concerning your life, you may not like it, because I'm going to give you the truth. But I'll tell you this, that truth will help you. Amen. Preacher, you're a little salty this morning. Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope I am all the time. Because the Bible said that a man that's lost the savor, the salt that's lost its savor, said it ain't good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of man. I'm going to make this statement, and I want you to take it the right way and listen to it. As long as I'm preaching and pastoring here or anywhere else, the only thing I can give you that's going to help you is the Word of God. And I've committed myself unto this Word because God called me to preach it. And so therefore, if there's ever, I wrote something down. I think I brought the right notebook. I wrote something down that Charles Spurgeon said. And if I can find it real quick, I want you to listen to what he said, if I can remember. No, I didn't bring the right notebook. He said something like this. He said that men and women yearn for truth until truth is found. And I may not have that quoted exactly right. Yearn for truth until truth is found. And when truth is found, they yearn for something else. Because truth is, I think he said something about it being a mirror. It shows you what's real. When you wake up in the morning, I've started realizing my age. And I didn't really realize it until somebody pointed it out to me the other day. Somebody said, I had let my beard get a little bit longer than I normally do. And somebody said, you're getting an awful lot of white in that beard. I really hadn't paid much attention to it. But then the next morning I got up and I said, you know what? They were right. They were right. I don't think they was meaning to hurt my feelings, but I thought, boy, are they calling me old? You know what that was, though?
That was truth. Whether I liked it or whether I didn't. Whether I thought it was hateful of them to point that out or not. It didn't make no difference. It was truth. Saw that little bit of white, and it's more in one spot than it is in others. And then I've noticed something else. And I noticed this back when I used to come, when Randy was here, and I'd preach for Randy, and Randy started getting silver right here. This is where he started getting it. I called him Flash Gordon. That's what I called him, because that's what old Flash Gordon used to look like, had them streaks on size. You know what I've started noticing, Brother Jeff? Starting to get some silver right here on the sides. Not so much as a few up here, but over here on the sides, boy, starting to show up. That person wasn't trying to hurt my feelings, I don't think, Brother Leroy. They're just telling me the truth. You're getting older. And I am. Ahab didn't want the truth. He wanted somebody to always pat him on the back and say, sure, go up and fight that battle. The Lord's with you. Ain't that what them 400 prophets said? The Lord's with you. But Jehoshaphat, being a good man, knew that there none of them was prophets of the Lord. And he said, is there not a prophet of the Lord around? Amen. Is there not somebody that'll speak truth unto us? And as soon as he said it, did you see what Ahab said? He said, yeah, there's a prophet. His name's Micaiah, and I hate him. Why? Why? Because he don't ever speak no good concerning me. He don't come in here and say, boy, you're doing good while you're living in sin. He don't pat me on the back and say, it's all right for you to keep on going that way. I don't like him. I hate him. But Micaiah was the prophet that had the word that they needed, and not the 400 prophets that Ahab had paid off. Today, what we need in our lives is the word of God. And we don't just need it, and listen to me, we don't just need it on Sunday mornings. We need it daily. Amen. It's not just the preaching that we need on Sunday morning, but it's the daily reading of God's word and studying God's word. I'm going to say this. I want to come get a verse of some song. I'm done. They went several years without the word of God, without the old books of Moses. They had been lost. And they were cleaning up over there in the wall and everything that had been destroyed. And the Bible said that the man of God, I can't remember who was that. Does y'all remember? Found the books. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, found the books. And they were the old scrolls. They found them. They brought them to the man of God. And he went into the temple. And he began to read the word of God. He began to read those few things that they had found. And you know what? They didn't sit there for an hour and say, it's about noon. We need to get up and go get some lunch, don't we? They didn't sit there 1 hour or two or three or four or five. I can't remember how many hours it was, but it was almost a day that they sat there. And all they did, they didn't expound. They didn't preach. All they did, Brother Jeff, was read the word of God. And you know what? The people came. Sometimes I wonder if we were to go through a drought. Right now we go through a drought. The Bible says that we're seeing this fulfilled in our day and time, where there's not a drought of the word of God, but there's a drought of listening and hearing the word of God. But I wonder if we were to go through a drought where there were no word of God. If sometime God just let it be where we didn't get it for a year or two or 20. I wonder if people would desire to hear it just read. Just read it to me. Old John had got put in prison. And they was about to take his life. He reached out the window there of his prison cell and he said, boys, they said, we're here. He said, would you go to Jesus and ask him if he be the Christ, or should we look for another? And they went over there to where Jesus was, and they told him the request of John. Amen. And the Lord looked at him and said, you go back and tell John that the eyes of the blind have been opened.
The ears of the deaf have been made to hear. The lame are walking, the dead are rising, and the poor has had the gospel preached unto them. You go back and tell John the good news. You can believe what you want to. I don't know if John was so down and out that he was beginning to doubt as much as he just wanted to hear it one more time. Sometimes I yearn for it. Sometimes in the middle of the night I have to get up because I'm yearning for the word. I gotta have it. There's something in it that I need at that moment. I would be a horrible wretch if the word of God was taken from me and I couldn't get to it. I'm thankful I've got it at my disposal everywhere I go. Not only just this Bible that I carry, but we live in a day and time that on our phones, everywhere we go, we've got access to the Word of God. Do we want it? Do we love it? Or do we hate it? Do we love what God has to say about issues concerning our lives? Or do we hate it? Do we hate it? Oh, Ahab said, I don't like Micaiah. He don't preach good things to me. He only prophesies evil. And I don't want to hear it. But Micaiah had the right words for him. What about it this morning? I don't know your heart and I don't know your life. But I know that the Word of God has helped me. There have been times I didn't like it. There have been times I go in and didn't really like what the man of God had to say. But you know what I had to do? I had to get down and repent, make some things right, and walk in the right way if I wanted to strive with the Lord. Would you stand with us this morning? I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you need, but the Lord does, and He's able to give you what you need. You say, well, preacher, I need these physical things. The things of physicality come one way or the other. And I know God takes care of us, and don't get me wrong, but God's interested in your spirituality first. If you'll get that taken care of, all these other things. He said, you seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. So stop worrying about all that other stuff, and just seek God first. And if you'd do that, you'd see what God could do in your heart. And in your life. Well, let's sing. If you need to come, you come on. Appreciate that this morning. I wonder if anybody has anything on your heart or your mind you need to say or do. You feel free to do so at this time. Amen. Let me leave this with you. A friend of mine, I won't call his name because you know him. We were headed to revival one night, and he was just a young preacher. We was going together, and he said, Brother Josh, what do you think about country music? I said, well, what do you mean what I think about it? He said, do you listen to it? I said, not really. And he said, well, what kind of music do you listen to? I said, gospel. He said, do you think there's anything wrong with listening to country music? I said, well, I don't think that's something you need to ask me. I said, I think that's something you need to ask God. I said, I just try to focus on gospel music. I said, now there's times where maybe an old song or something will come up and I'll find it and I may be singing with it. I said, we used to listen to Alabama when I was a kid and I loved their Christmas album. I said, there's certain songs I like. And he said, but I just want to know if it's wrong for me. I said, well, that's something you're going to have to take up with God. We got to the revival that night, and me and him were sitting on the front bench. An old preacher was up preaching, and he was preaching about getting things out of your life that are hindering you from God, getting things out of your life that are hindering from God. He said, you know what? He got right down this preacher's face. He said, you know what? He said, I had to get rid of country music. I had to get rid of rock and roll music. I had to throw it all away. God wouldn't even let me sell it to somebody else to make some money. I had to get rid of all of it. Pointed right in his face. We got in the car and he said, shut up, I don't want to hear a word. God was answering his question for him. That may not be something that you have a problem with. That may not be something that keeps you away from God. But this young person was asking me that and I couldn't answer it for him. That wasn't something I could answer for him. That was something he was going to have to find out from God. And God sent the message. And listen, I don't think he liked it. Because when we got in the car, he said, shut up, don't say a word. And we didn't talk all the way home. He was angry. He was upset. But God had sent the word to him of what he needed to do. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to testify to this. He got rid of what he needed to get rid of. He's a mighty man of God today, and I'm thankful for him. Listen, I'm telling you, if you got it, God will answer your questions. He might not answer them in the way you want him to, but he'll answer your questions. You may say, I don't like that answer. You might say, whew, I hate that answer, but he will answer you and he'll give you what's needed in your heart and in your life. I pray you'll take it and receive it so that you can do what God wants you to do. I love you this morning. I appreciate you with all my heart. I thank God for you. And thank the Lord for what he's done for us.